You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, September 8th, episode 3770, brought to you today by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
You have found Horses in the Morning on a Monday. You're in for an amazing horsey week of laughter, learning, and fun with Glenn and Jamie.
That's right. It is a Monday, and we're glad that you're here. We have a fun show planned for you today. We have another comedian. We had one last week, and we have one this week. Comedian Maxie Wittrich. She's joining us. You've seen her. You've seen her do stand-up. You've seen the clips of her talking about being a horse girl and how crazy all horse girls are. We're going to have her on, and I hope she's as fun as she looks in the various clips that we've seen. But she's also a stand-up comedian, travels around the country doing that, as well as some other things that we're going to find out about. And then one of our auditors is returning, Nicola. She's going to be back to talk to us about the Burley horse trials, which happened over the weekend. The Burley House, I mean, we say house, it's a freaking palace. I mean, it just looks like an amazing venue. I think if I was to choose between badminton and Burley, I would pick Burley just because it looks prettier.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But I mean, they're all pretty, let's be honest. But she's going to join us and tell us how that went over the weekend. We have our monthly look at your equestrian first world problems. And then in the Auditor Post show, Jamie apparently is a super mom, and we're going to find out why.
Yes, I am.
Okay. I wanted to, before we get to the show, I wanted to mention Bobby Kerr. Now, who's Bobby Kerr? You've all seen clips of Bobby Kerr. And I had the opportunity to meet him at Road to the Horse a couple times, and he was a super nice guy. He is an entertainer, and you all know him from his specialty act that he did at rodeos and Road to the Horse and various venues across the country, where the horse would ride in the back of the car with him and the dogs on the hood. Mm-hmm. You've all seen the horse sitting behind him in the back of the car. He was an entertainer's entertainer. And he, as a matter of fact, won many awards for being an entertainer. But he was also a big advocate of Mustangs. And he won the Supreme Extreme Mustang Makeover title in 2012. So he was huge into Mustangs and finding homes and training Mustangs and the makeovers and all of that. Super nice guy. As I said, I got to meet him. He passed away over the weekend after a long battle with esophageal cancer. And I would say it, but I'd get in trouble. Effing cancer. He apparently has been battling that for a number of years and, you know, had a tough road there at the end. But we all will remember how funny he was. I remember him doing this show. I remember seeing it for the first time at Road to the Horse and loving it every time I've seen it after that. He was 67 years old and quite a horseman. He spent 50 years training horses and working with horses and dogs in his act. So our best to his family and to the whole rodeo world, who will certainly miss Bobby Kerr. All right, let's do some Daily Whinnies. Mine's simple today. We have two auditor birthdays, Eileen Miller and Kelly Peterson. Happy birthday to both of you. And now, the debut of the brand new Daily Whinny, including Butters.
Oh!
And there's Butters.
Oh, this is so cute! Again, not hard to get an audio of him winning. He whinnies all the time.
He's still at it. That hasn't slowed down at all.
He's the chattiest baby ever. Hey, someone's being ridden. Oh, my God. Why are you being ridden? Wait, where'd you go? Hold on. Oh, I'm just standing in a stall by myself with other neighbors around me. I'm going to whinny. Yeah. Anyway, my daily whinny goes out to Wild Bill. I got to go to Phoenix over the weekend. Actually, like, it was crazy. So we were in Phoenix for 36 hours. And we flew in, got there Friday night, or sorry, Thursday night. And then Friday, we showed up at the Air Force Base and got to watch the Finney flight for Wild Bill, who is one of Chad's longtime best friends.
What do they do in that final flight? Does he do stunts and things or just fly over?
So basically what happens is they get to mission plan their own flight. And so they get to do whatever they want within the law.
No dropping bombs, apparently. No.
I guess they could drop bombs if they wanted to book the range. There's like a range they can go drop bombs on. I mean, it's the desert, right?
Right.
Like there's places for that. But yeah, so he picks a couple friends and they all go fly and they pretty much do whatever they want. So what he did was it's called an unrestricted climb, and they take off. Like, and again, he's in the F-35. So it's affectionately known as Fat Amy is the name of the jet. So he gets in Fat Amy and takes off, and then there's liftoff, and then they just point straight to the sky and just
afterburners.
Rocket up to the sky. Afterburners. It is so awesomely loud. I'm sure the people around there were like, what's going on? Cause there was four unrestricted climbs in a row, which is so loud. And I guess they go around and play around and then they land and they come back. And, you know, there's a typical, like, he gets out of the plane, he drives it up, all his friends and family are there. And then all the lieutenants and everybody underneath him, airmen, grab him and duct tape him and spray him with water and champagne and shaving cream and all. They just blast him. However, while Bill is not young, he was the longest running airman at Luke up until this weekend. So he's also like 6'8", and he's just a giant human. So there was nobody who was going to wrestle him to the ground. So he got sprayed with water and blasted, and it was really cool. And Lucas is great friends
with
his
kids. How did he fit in that cockpit?
It's a long running joke, actually.
Because Jamie and I got the opportunity to sit in one of those cockpits. They're tight. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, we there's definitely jokes about Wild Bill's knees being up by his ears because he is such a giant human. And so, but he flees a great, great, great American and just great human. And he gave a talk actually, like afterwards, they do a speech and he talked about, I mean, he didn't say the words marching towards death, but he pretty much said marching towards death. And he had such a more elegant way of putting the marching towards death. You know, like I say, if you want to do something, do it, because we're just marching towards death. And he actually had a very elegant way of saying time is a thief. And we have all of our memories to look back on to celebrate the time. I'm like, that's so good, but that is not bumper sticker.
No, No. You have to think about that. And, you know,
but it was really cool. And so we watched him and do all the things and had his retirement ceremony. And it's a really cool thing. And it, you know, it's really fun to go into a fighter squadron with Chad, who knows everybody. I mean, he was there for 25 years. And then to have Lucas be able to be a part of it. Because when Chad retired, Lucas was like 5. So he doesn't have a whole ton of memories about it. So going back to these retirement ceremonies is kind of a good way to connect Lucas to just how cool his dad actually is.
Does he wear his uniform, Chad?
No, I asked him. I said, are you going to put on your onesie? Because I always call it a onesie. But the flight
he has dress like uniform, though, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, they don't dress up. He's retired. He's done. He's hung it all up. So it was just go out there. And then they proceed to celebrate in the way pilots only know how to celebrate, which is heavy drinking. So that night there was a big party and I'm still recovering. Not that I drank too much, but the time difference, you know, the party ended, everybody wrapped it up 1:30, which is 3:30 my time. Glenn, I am a zombie. I can't believe how that affects you as you're older versus when you're younger.
You're out of
younger
shape.
Younger me would have not cared.
You're out of shape. You're out of party shape.
I am out of party shape. Ugh. Well, you know what's cool is we're going to talk to a stand-up comedian later, and that is a different lifestyle too. Like stand-up comedians, they go on at 11.
I know.
You know, they probably don't get home till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
I could never do it. How can you be funny at 2 in the morning? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. I guess you've been drinking.
Yeah, I guess.
Everybody's drinking. Hilarious when everybody's drinking.
You know, there's a couple people partying over the weekend, too. And two of those people that were the ones who won the $1.8 billion lottery.
Did somebody win?
Two people won. Yep. Oh. One in Texas. I don't know where the other one was, but one was in Texas. And then the other person that's celebrating is Scott Brash. You remember how we talked the other day about Spruce Meadows and the $5 million that was up for grabs at the show jumping at Spruce Meadows over the weekend? Well, Great Britain's Scott Brash and his horse, Hello Jefferson, won. So Scott made the flight over from England, and I bet he's very glad he did. And it was actually exciting because it was a jump off with US's Kyle King. And Brash ended up completing with no faults and secured the victory and won the Masters Grand Prix title and also a chunk of the $5 million. So, yeah, he's happy he made the trip.
That's incredible. And I'm sorry, Hello Jefferson is a fantastic name.
Yes, it is. And it's a fantastic horse, obviously. He's won with Hello Jefferson before. This was his third Masters title. And his fifth major win. So he's doing all right, Scott. He's paying the bills. Yeah, he's paying the bills. No problem. So that's what happened at the Masters over the weekend. Well, I think we should get to Maxie Wittrich, who's our comedian that's going to be joining us right after this word from Worm Flooring. Worm Flooring now does your trailer roof. Leaky roofs are a common problem in horse trailers and RVs. Worm Flooring's revolutionary silicone-based coating creates a barrier against the heat and wet. First, it seals your roof to stop leaks before they start. Second, it reflects back nearly 90% of those nasty UV rays, keeping your trailer or barn up to 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. So ditch the duct tape and buckets. Invest in a long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. It's applied by pros for a flawless finish and is only $7.50 per square foot. That's a steal for a cooler, drier, happier trailer or RV, which means happier horses and happier people. Head over to wormflooring.com now to find a dealer near you. That's WERMflooring.com.
I'll meet women who are like, to pay for my horses, I would give up my home, I would give up my car, I would give up my kids. And I'm like, well, that's pretty hard to hear, Mom. Horses are a drug. Horses are a drug. Like, I've never met someone who's done horses for more than a decade who didn't have a little bit of brain damage. It's like talking to someone who's done acid for too many years. You're like, is that all you think about? They're like, pretty much. There's no casual horse use. No one's like, yeah, I did it once. Not for me. People are way into horses are in total denial. They're like, I don't have a problem. I'm like, you have shavings in your hair.
And that's comedian Maxie Wittrich. She's joining us this morning. She has performed all across the country, including the Hollywood Improv, Laugh Factory, and the Comedy Store. Maxie, thanks for joining us on our silly show. We appreciate it.
Can you see me right now? Is that weird? Like, I feel seen.
I'm so glad finally it's hitting the audience it was intended for.
Well, you know, that was going to be one of my first questions, is a lot of your stuff is horse-related. How does it play with the general audience?
You know, so that's actually been the interesting thing about experimenting with social media. I was really resistant to it at first, but then I realized I could start making the jokes I wanted to make for people on the internet who could find me, who in my day-to-day live show, I'm not performing those jokes regularly. They're really just for my online audience until I build up enough of a fan base to go on the road and do just the horse material. And I've been asked to do just the horse material now, but in my day-to-day comedy, I'm not doing much of it.
Well, I can see why, but
I can't imagine why. So us horse chicks are labeled, man. We're labeled, and you celebrate that label. I love it.
I love that the first reaction from the horse chicks is first reaction. I feel seen. I love it. Second reaction is, hey, don't make fun of us.
We've been doing this show daily for 15 years, making fun of us. So we get
it. It's all good.
Hey, let's rewind. Do you grow up with horses? How did this happen?
Oh, yeah. I've been on a horse since I was four. Grew up with them, got into 4-H really young, then went into Morgans and Arabs and endurance riding and riding all over the world. So I've got a little taste of a lot of it.
And were you always in endurance, or did you do the jumping and hunter thing like most kids do at some point?
You know, mostly stuck to the 4-H so that I could learn to do it all myself, and then got the taste of luxury later in life with the show horses and the hunter jumper and a little bit of mostly the saddle horses.
Where'd you grow up?
Seattle, Washington.
Oh, okay. All right. So are you still into horses? Do you still have a horse?
We're off in the woods while everyone in Lexington and cool horse places are making it glamorous. We're just the tree people up in the Pacific Northwest.
In the rain. I totally got a visual of you in an indoor arena. So, so I'm jealous anyway. It's fine.
Instead of out on a track.
Okay. Yeah. We always ask, what was your first horse?
Oh, you know, it was my 5-year anniversary of having to say goodbye to her yesterday. Desi was my first, my horse, who's a little Arabian, and we used to kick everyone's ass at showmanship.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, nice. I know. Surprise all the quarter horses. Sorry, quarter horses, you're great.
Did you also endurance?
Desi was better.
Yeah, that's right. Did you also do endurance with a little Arab?
She did. Yeah. We got all sorts of comments about her muscle fibers recovering faster than I think probably the people who were using warm bloods or something. It was like, yeah, those are sprinters.
We heard the joke, obviously, about your mom there. Were your parents also into horses?
My mom was very much into horses. And after I left showing, she took over. She adopted. She absorbed my remaining orphan show horses and showed them herself.
Oh, wow. Well, that's kind of cool. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
As somebody whose mom wasn't into horses and as somebody who has a child that is not into horses, I'm just jealous of the relationship, basically.
Did you come to it later? Or you have a child that's not into horses.
Correct. I have a child and I swear to God, Max, I thought it was going to be a girl. Like, I just knew I was having a horse girl, and I was like buying a pony. Girl. I was getting braids ready. Like, we're going to go to shows together. And then it's a boy, and he'd rather ride motorcycles with dad.
You know, maybe it can keep your relationship pure, though, because I had a lot wrapped up in my reliance on my mom to pay for the horses, and that muddled things a little bit.
Way to put a bright light on it. That's cool.
Sure.
So, Maxie, growing up in high school isn't always easy for the horse girl. They end up with a reputation, right?
Oh, a reputation, all the jokes. And also, I was gone a lot because I was competing so much. I think I made it onto my varsity soccer team out of pity because I missed half the practices.
Well, I was going to ask you, is having to defend your horse girl self, was that where the comedy came in? Is that where you realized that I could be funny, I could do this?
Well, you know, oh yeah, a little bit. I liked putting on a show, and as far as realizing I could do comedy or realizing I could do horse comedy?
Well, comedy in general. Yeah.
Comedy in general. Yeah, I think I was used to being a little bit of the weird kid. And so in comedy, when everyone's weird, no one's weird. So us being a bunch of misfits, just calling out things that we see, it didn't feel that strange because I'd already kind of been the outsider as the horse girl in high school, trying to fit in, trying to wear the same jeans as everyone else, but paying so much for one pair of Abercrombie jeans, knowing that my other jeans were getting destroyed at the barn. It was like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. I had one holy grail pair of Abercrombie sweats that I was like, well, these are never leaving the house.
We all say that, but then we come
home. We know how that goes.
Yeah. We come home and then we walk into the barn and that's it.
And they're getting ruined.
Yep.
Yeah. How many times I've said, I am not wearing these shoes to the barn. It's not going to happen.
Cut to Jamie in those shoes at the barn.
Exactly. Next day.
Because you're just going to go in for a minute. Just a minute. I just have to do this one thing. And then you're in the
feeding and watering.
You're cleaning the stalls in your shoes. Yep. So, I gotta say, stand-up comedy it scares me to death. I've done improv for years. I mean, I owned an acting company. We did 10 years worth of medieval feasts, and I loved improv. But stand-up is a whole different ballgame.
It is a little different, but you know, the more I do it and the more I get the support of the other people who do it, a bomb, depending on the reason for the bomb, isn't always so bad. There's different reasons, and we're all there to remind each other that, you know, we can't please everybody in a room. And so the chances that that things are going to line up your way are just low enough to begin with that I think we go in knowing it's kind of stacked against us. And then anything upward from there is a good day.
And I know a lot of stand-up comics practice a lot, right? They practice so they can get it down to the word. Are you that guy? That guy, or are you the one that goes in with the, I know it, so I'm just going to kind of wing it.
Great question. A little bit of both. You know, it depends if I'm developing material, then I'm kind of a wing it just to explore and feel around and see what hits and not be too tied to the structured script yet. But once I've got something structured a certain way, I got to stay pretty word perfect to it because I do a lot of writing. And when I'm that incisive with looking at the words on my page, things are there for a reason. And if I'm stray from it, sometimes it completely falls flat because it loses the thing that I toiled for hours over. So I'd say I'm loose, but certain things don't get to get changed.
I think that of all the jobs in the world, people ask me if there was anything else I would have done besides horses in this radio nonsense. People ask me what it would be. I would say I have always said I would love to be a stand-up comedian.
You sound like you could. You sound like you've got a funny voice.
Well, I say that I would, but then I'm like, I don't know if I could do it because it is just such an exposed way to present any sort of ideas. It's like writing a song. You're sharing your personal insides and you're sharing your hopes and your dreams and your craziness. But the good thing is about it, you get to kind of make fun of yourself. And so how much of your comedy when you go out there you think is kind of like self-deprecating? Because to me, that's one of the better ways horse girls survive.
Right. Yeah. So much of mine is self-deprecating, and I get a lot of comments saying, don't be so self-deprecating. You're beautiful. you're a beautiful young woman. I'm like, that's not what I'm trying to say.
And it's not funny.
And it's not funny. No one wants to hear me on a stage being like, I really like myself.
God, am I pretty?
Where the horse girls and the comedy come together is stand-up. The most important thing is having a strong point of view, and good Lord, horse girls have a strong point of view. I was on judging team, for God's sake. Like, we love to judge things and give our reasons for picking it apart, which is exactly what you need in comedy. You know, you can't feel blasé about something. You have to get up there and hate it or love it, but usually hate it. And I think that's what horse girls really shine at, honestly.
It's true. And there's such a, I think you're really smart to lean into the social media because in the, you know, 20-second videos that everybody loves to watch, I see you all the time all over it. And I'm like, I see the horse girl thing and I'm like, this person is basically saying the things that are in my head all the time. And you're saying them on a stage and you're just vulnerable and you're there and you're just connecting to so many women that I've talked to, horse chicks that watch your stuff. And it's nice to have somebody representing us.
Oh, I mean, that's so nice to hear. Thank you. And well, I have the luxury of it because you're too busy at the barn. And I feel like I get to come back and use my stand-up journey to, you know, come back and say hi to the horse community because I've been out of it. And if I had stayed and like I thought I would, stayed a horse trainer or something, I'd be too busy doing that to have taken a detour into stand-up. So I never would be able to explore this stuff and make fun of us in the way we want to, because the horse girls are busy with their horses or their day job paying for the horses. So,
well, yeah. And, and comedy in LA probably doesn't pay the board in LA. Good God.
That's right. So the one good thing about horses not being my life anymore is it gave me the freedom for something else to be my life for a little while.
Maxie, so we know you'll be back, by the way. By the time most of our listeners have gotten back into the horses after the kids are gone, right? Uh-huh. So you're going to be back. You'll be back.
Well, hopefully not after the comedy is gone. Can they just coexist for the remainder of my days?
Yes, they can. We allow that.
So are you in LA and doing comedy there? Do you go on the road? How much of this, like, I feel like potentially we're getting in on the ground floor of like everybody getting to know you.
I am in LA and then I travel from here. So I've got a few things coming up in Chicago and Cyprus, actually, strangely enough, Vegas, but I'm really saving up the material to hopefully do a horse tour at some point. Once more people know me enough that I can tailor them, I've got some material specifically for my horse gals. And once I can separate and differentiate those two tours, I'm really hoping to get out on the road and come see you guys doing just that stuff.
Well, Maxie,
oh my gosh, how cool would that be, Glenn, if she was like, you know, we have these big, you know, our Rolex Kentucky or, well, Defender Kentucky 3-day event, you know, like the Saturday night, there's like one of your shows before the show jumping. Like, oh my God, the possibilities are endless if you lean into this.
Rolex would be like, we got to get her a stylist first.
Maxie, I live in Ocala, Florida, home of the World Equestrian Center. We have a place for you here too. So,
there you go.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you let me know. So you also, in your free time, decided that you're going to take up drumming and be in a female rock band?
Yeah. So something about leaving horses was, after college, was I had all this free time on my hands as I was pursuing my dream. So alongside stand-up, I thought, you know, I've always wanted to try drumming and acting and all these things I didn't have time to try in high school. So I just really went loose. And I made a 2-piece girl band. I was drums, she was vocals, and we put out an album and played some shows at places like the Whiskey and the Viper, you know, all the bucket list spots. And just life is short. Had to go for it.
Amen, sister.
And then the highlight of your career, you were on The Bold and the Beautiful. Is that still around?
Oh my God, Glenn, you did your research.
I did.
It is still going. And during the pandemic, it was one of the shows that figured it out the most quickly of how to keep going. Like for kissing scenes, they had spouses come be in a wig, be in a stand-in for the other actor. And like, you know, because that at least that person in your bubble, you could kiss safely and all sorts of crazy things. But yeah, they were lovely. They were my first real acting job. And I always tell Christy Dooley, the person who cast me, like, you know, if it weren't for you, I could have given up much sooner. And I mean that in an accusatory way. I could have been out. I could have been off living with some horses. I could have given up the acting dream really early. But no, a little taste of success. And here I still am.
Now, it says here, too, that you were on Shrinking.
This most recent season, and they're coming out with season 3, I think, in the new year.
Okay, I haven't finished it, so I'm not to season 2 yet. Oh, I just got started.
Right.
It's season so good. 2,
see if you spot me. I don't look like myself, but not that you know what I look like that familiarly anyway. So,
oh girl, I poured through your videos. I've seen you in your short hair phase. I've seen you in your longer hair phase. Yeah, it's all good. Okay. I'll find you.
Yeah, you even know the hair journey.
Maxie, watch your stuff.
Maxie, I wish you the best of luck. When you do get on your tour and get to Ocala, we'll hang out a bit over at the World Equestrian Center. We'll make sure you get a gig there, okay?
Oh, that sounds amazing. I can't wait to see you guys in person.
And Jamie's in Oklahoma. You'll fit right in. You'll be perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't see at all. Yeah, aside from horses. Just come out and ride with me, girl. It'd be good.
Just come out. But yeah, Bricktown, we got a couple clubs I've been trying to get to. Yeah, that'll work.
Maxie, what's your website?
MaxieWittrack.com, but if it's easier, Instagram at MadMaxie.
MadMaxie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Have a good morning, you guys.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
I'm so excited to welcome Nicola to the show because you had a hell of a weekend, girl. Talk to us. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I've got the burly blues this morning. What a great weekend of sport.
So you live in London, and how far outside of London is Burley?
So for me to drive, so I live sort of just southwest of London. For me to drive would be 2.5-3 hours, which I know for you guys is nothing. but for us on our smaller roads, it's a bit of a drive. So I got the train, which was delightful. So I think if any of you guys coming from across the pond and you don't want to hire cars and drive on little narrow roads, it's very doable by public transport. It was, 45-minute train from central London and then a little 10-minute train to change to.
Oh my gosh. So that's what I'm so jealous about is your public transportation over there. It's just so easy to get around once you figure it out. So you are in Southwest London. You're like, I'm going to go to Burley this weekend, which for those who don't know is just the most beautiful horse trial I think that there is. Talk a little bit about the grounds at Burley.
Yeah, it's stunning. You can't help but be wowed by the house and the house is so close to you, so you kind of see it from everywhere you go. The ground was stunning, green grass, beautiful jumps. I mean, massive, massive jumps. So the town where you get the train to, Stamford, is also a lovely town. It's pretty expensive to stay in for Burley, but beautiful, picturesque town. And they have a competition the weekend of Burley. They're encouraged to decorate the shop windows, and they're all sort of horse themed, and they have a prize given by the horse show for the best window.
Oh, that's so fun. So you can take a train out there. You arrive. I think you stayed on Friday night, so you saw some dressage and then the cross country. But what I think is really neat about Burley is, like, speaking Kentucky, you know, the competitors, you may occasionally see one walking through the trade fair because they need to grab something. But for the most part, unless there's an autograph signing, you don't see them. But it seemed to me at Burley, like, it's just more integrated with the riders and the fans. So tell everybody about your experience.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I spoke to somebody and they said that the Kentucky organisers had gone to Burley to see, you know, what do they do there that we can do at Kentucky. And I went to Kentucky last year, right? So they have an interview stage, which is great. So all day long, there's a big screen you can see that you can watch from there, but there are interviews all day long of Janelle Price, Pippa Funnel, some of the grooms, Adam Short, Tom McEwen's groom. So that's great. But I think to us, we approach the event riders more because we see them all the time. You know, like my local event is, I've got sort of two within an hour. You know, the greats will all compete there. You know, I could see Zara Tyndall competing her B100 horse down the road. I was thinking, like, there's no sport like that. You know, imagine sort of a football, you know, going out to a football player and just asking for photos. I just don't think you have the same kind of, whereas... Mm-hmm. We were saying to someone said to Pippa, you know, well, what do you think about fence number 5 or whatever? What are your views? And they're so willing to give it and to encourage you.
So you were sitting down having lunch on what, Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then walk us through that. That's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. So I pay into an owners group called the Event Horse Owners Association, which is £100 a year. And they have tents at the horse shows, which especially when it rains is quite nice to go and sit down and have a tea. I was sat there with some friends that I met on the eventing podcasts, their social media forum, I guess, like your equivalent of the auditor room. And we were sat with this lady that lives in Australia, and she's also in the same group, and she's a horse agent, so she's got loads of connections. She's best pals with Lucinda. They stayed up late on the Saturday night watching the rerun of Burley. Having just been there, they watched the entire cross country with Lucinda. And they called her over and they said, "Oh, Lucinda, like, are you going to come over tonight? We'll go to M&S, we'll get snacks, and we'll watch it all again." And she was like, "Yes, I'm so keen for that," you know. And then, yeah, Pippa Funnel came and sat with us, and her husband, William Funnel, who's just sold my friend a horse, actually, that she's flown over to America. But yeah, I was like, "Oh my God, this is so exciting."
in the normal world, these people aren't celebrities, but to us, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, you sat and had lunch with Pippa Funnel and her husband. That's so cool. Yeah, so I know we've talked about it before, but like, what is the shopping like? How does it compare to Kentucky?
It's the shopping is amazing. I was trying to quantify it. I almost think 10 times as many shops.
Whoa.
What?
Jamie's and on her way.
And like everything, you know, I was thinking, you know, I defy anyone to go and not have a good time. You know, there is homeware, there is, I don't know, baskets. There was a shop that sold entirely brushes, like brooms and, you know, cleaning brushes and stuff. Food, so many food stands, cakes, you know, you'd obviously your normal burgers and stuff, but kind of other things like pies and regional foods. You know, obviously all tax stuff, paintings, just everything. The shopping is very, very good.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Well, so you would say, have you been to badminton too? Yeah, obviously.
I went for the first time this year. I prefer Burley. Not as busy, and it feels a little bit more glamorous. I don't really know why. But I also really enjoy the Burley Insight stage, which is where they have the interviews. I think that's really great. So, you know, after you've watched the day of dressage, for example, the top three will go and do an interview and you can go and ask questions. And I think that's really great.
You know, before we go, though, we have to talk about the new royalty in eventing. And that's Roz Cantor, who won. She's won twice now, badminton and Burley on the same horse, Lordship Scruffalo. She's owning this sport.
Yeah, what an amazing horse. And, you know, I feel like we shouldn't kind of... but she talked about in her condition, you know, and obviously it's a great thing that she does feel that she can still do that.
Maybe we should mention that she's pregnant for her second child while she wins this. So
wow.
Yeah, so we've got the European Eventing Championships coming up in 2 weeks' time. So yeah, she said, I think she would have preferred not to have mentioned it, but she had to explain why she didn't want to ride for the team and concentrated on Burley instead. But yeah, what an amazing job. And to be the only one to be inside the time, to be comfortably inside the time. She thought she was slow.
Oh my gosh, amazing. So she's how pregnant? How in full is she?
Yeah, don't know. I assume probably just about the time where you can tell people. But I mean, yeah, you couldn't really tell.
And this will be her second, right? She has one that's two or three, if I remember right.
Yeah, and there's such a great clip on social media of her being handed Ziggy after she's won, and she just closes her eyes and gives her the biggest hug. And you know that that's the most important thing to her, right?
And Roz Cantor has she's big personality, but tiny person. I mean, when I first met her the first time, I was like, oh my God, it's like she's as big a rider as she is.
You know? Yeah. As well. You know, she used to have All Star B, that was the horse that she won on a try on. He was a big horse, you know, and you just think, God, if they can do it, they can sit back and with the tiniest little, you know, adjustment, they can slow those horses down to jump those massive fences.
Basically, yeah. What's our excuse? I mean, we don't have one. Let's go.
And you've traveled all around the world going to these various events. Do you have an event that would be your favorite from all the ones you've attended?
Le Moulin in Germany, such a friendly event. Yeah.
I can't even say that word.
Now you got me all tongue-tied. Well, we know what you're talking about, yeah. Nicholas. Well, thank you as always for coming on and chatting with us. It sounds like you had an amazing weekend. And one of these days, girl. One of these days, I'm going to get there.
Let us know when you're coming over. So then we've got, I'm hoping that the horse that I have a syndicate share in. So that was the other thing I wanted to mention. So I have a syndicate horse for a year, and she's hopefully going to Poe next year. Oh. One of my friends, she's in the syndicate for Will Rawlin, and he's got horses at all level, including at Burley. She pays £29 a month, and she gets such great access to him and his horses when she goes to events. He makes her feel so welcome. We went on a course walk with him for £29 a month. So, you know, I say to kind of other listeners, like, do you keep an eye out on stuff? There are ways that you can be involved in the sport without it costing huge amounts of money. And I'll be so lucky if Holly goes to Poe next month, so we get to cheer on, you know, our horse in the five star. And then we've got Blenheim in 2 weeks. So it's all go till the end of the year.
You know what, Glenn, I needed another online horse shopping addiction. So send me that website, girl.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from an HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
It's time for the weekly look at your equestrian first world problems.
This ought to be good.
Yes, it's that time of the week, or the month, really. We're only doing this segment once a month, which is to tell you about the sad tales of woe that our listeners are going through. Remember, if you have a equestrian problem, it is a first world problem, because that's how we live. So we're going to start with, let me back up, because basically what happens is once a month we post on a Sunday, like, hey, what is your current equestrian first world problem? And you guys, the auditors, get to participate in this. So if you're not an auditor and you want to share, Glenn, how do they do it?
Just go to horseradionetwork.com, click on the auditor banner in the middle of the page, and for as little as $3 a month, you too can participate.
Well, we're going to start with Brandy, because she says, now remember, you posted this yesterday. So she said, I'm at a show this weekend and my in-laws were using their camper, so I had to stay in a hotel, and my husband and my dog had to stay home at the last minute as my pup was having some tummy issues. So I had to stay the whole weekend in a huge suite all by myself and drive back and forth the 2 minutes to the showgrounds. Wait, I got to go. I got to go take a hot shower. I need a hot breakfast right now.
Sounds awful.
Oh, I love that the you guys really got into the spirit of sarcasm for this one. So I really appreciate it. Rachel says, I'm taking my two horses to a camp draft clinic. Two horses. But which one do I ride first? Because I'm used to having one horse, but now I have two.
Camp draft.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I'll have to look that. No, I should. It sounds like.
I feel like we've talked about it before, but you know what? We're just going to have Rachel on to talk about camp drafting. It sounds fun. Obi says, I'm stuck at home. Or it's Kelly says, I'm stuck at home due to my surgery, recovering and missing my horse. And my fiance left the hose on in the pool, causing it to overflow. And I had to go turn it off. And I told him basically he did the equivalent of leaving the hose on in the water trough. And it made me miss my horse even more.
Okay. I have camp drafting. She's from Australia, and it's cutting, basically, cutting cows. It's a unique Australian equine sport where a rider on a horse must first enter a small yard and select a cow from a mob of cattle. So yeah, it's cutting. Okay.
It's sorting, basically.
Sorting. Yeah. Sorting, which cutting. Is like yep.
The coolest thing ever. Okay. Rosemary said, I went horse shopping with a client yesterday and I found her a super nice gelding that is novice friendly. But the problem is, I got talked into taking a really nicely schooled thoroughbred gelding, and he's really nice and I couldn't resist. And they're coming this week, but I already have five of my own and I have too many. I love that you got talked into it.
Yeah, talked into it. Yeah.
Such a lie. She does say she has 21 more empty stalls. Oh, you're so screwed. Oh, Taylor says,
how long will it be till she has 24 horses?
Exactly. Mm. I mean, if you have 21 stalls left, you're going to have to get at least 22 more horses. Yes. But hopefully you can make those other people's horses. Taylor says, I spent the night at our house 20 feet from the barn, and I was so excited to wake up and ride at sunrise. But it rained all night, and I do not have an arena. Now, for those who don't know, Taylor has been arguing with her husband, fighting with him to purchase an arena and get it built for months now. And so I think this is like, she's going to play this for her husband and be like, this is my life. I can't live like this. I need an arena.
Taylor, keep in mind, there's a fine line between whining and going overboard. Just saying.
No, there's not. Girl, push it. Ride it.
It's worked so
death.
Well for you.
I know. It's going to happen. Ashley says, I went on vacation and the first morning I was gone, the farm sitter called me and told me my mare was choking. He took her to the vet and she is fine, but I'm never going on vacation again.
It always happens when you're on vacation too, for some reason.
That is just the worst. Ugh. That is just the worst. You can't go anywhere. Every time I leave Ginger's farm sitting and there's inclement weather, like tornadoes, heat, locusts, whatever, hurricanes, earthquakes, always something. Jen says that this year has been so hectic that my half chaps are covered in house dust.
House dust.
We need some barn dust, sister, or you just need to dust your house. One of those.
That one took me a minute actually to process.
No judging. Yeah. Kaylee says, I have $12,000 to spend.
On what?
And I can't decide if I want to go on a fancy vacation or buy myself another horse.
Well, we know the answer to that one.
That's so horse chick is like, yeah. Okay, I've got $12,000. I could potentially put it away and save it, invest in the S&P 500, put it away for retirement, spend it in my 401k.
None of them are doing that.
Or I can get another horse. Dude, come on, get the horse. What are you
None
doing?
Of them
or
are doing
buy
that.
Two $6,000 horses.
Maxie probably has a whole bit on that. She probably has a whole video on that topic right there.
I'm sure she does. Allison says, I went to Tractor Supply since I was out of horse feed. And they had a clearance. They had clearance boots 50% off. So naturally, I bought every pair in my size.
Like they were free.
My backup bin was already full of feed. So now I'm chauffeuring horse feed around in my car while staring at these cute cowboy boots that I'm never going to wear because I write English. I mean, you never know. When I go to the feed store, I'm like, okay, what do I have? What do I have? What do I need? What do I need? You know what? Screw it. I'll just buy it all. Give it to me all.
You know, there was a whole discussion when I was at Ada Dallas about this time in history, there's more crossover between English and Western when it comes to clothes than there ever has been. More English people are buying boots, buying buckles, buying hats. There's just a ton of crossover. You go to Wellington now, where there used to be only, you know, $500 riding breeches, and you'll see these highfalutin jumpers, and you'll see them in cowboy boots. You'll see them with belt buckles now. There's definite crossover.
Well, and it's funny, I've gotten into the Western clothes as well, but I have always loved the look of like Western style with the pearl snaps and the
fringe.
Jeans with the belt buckle. And they always have like really cool blingy back pockets and the boots. And I've always loved it, but I never felt like I could represent that because I am an English rider and I felt like a poser. But now I have a Western saddle and a quarter horse. So
you're good. Just, and you live in Oklahoma.
I have like four pairs of boots now. I love it. I love it. I represent. So you know what, Allison, come over and you can sit in my Western saddle and we'll take pictures of you. And then you can legit tell people you're a Western rider too. Like you do it all. It's okay.
Jennifer's riding in her Western saddle. She has not bought cowboy boots yet. Not
well,
yet.
Christmas is coming. Shelly says, I'm so excited to be going on a horse girls weekend trip to GMHA in Vermont in October with my horse, but it's for 100 pace. And I said, I wasn't going to do any 100 paces with my horse. She says, oh, well, hopefully I won't die. That's low expectations, but I totally get it. I
remember face riding her down cross country. Has some hills, I bet.
Yeah, I remember riding down to cross country with on jet, and I would just remember like that I could die today. Why do we like doing that? Do we like torturing ourselves like that? I could die today. Okay, this is it. This is how I finish. This is how I live.
We'd be happy.
Adrian says, my husband went to my parents' farm and loaded me up with hay before he left for a long work trip. But he stacked all the grass hay in front of the alfalfa, and I feed the alfalfa inside. So now I have to move 15 bales of grass hay to get to the alfalfa. Listen, Adrian, those are grounds for divorce. Like, I don't care. Like, he basically made more work for you. You have to restack 15 bales, Glenn.
You know what Maxie said about you spoiled horse girls? Right there. That's perfect proof right there.
Do we have time for one more?
Sure.
Oh, wait, no, two more. So Kara says, I have a bucket list dream to go out for a moonlit ride. But every time there's a full moon, I can't stay awake long enough for the moon to be fully up before yeah, I go for a ride.
I get that.
Oh my gosh.
Lunar eclipses. I never am awake enough for a lunar eclipse. It's like,
we were in Colorado and I'm like, oh my God, the stars. 3 summers in a row. I'm like, I'm going to see the stars this time. I can't do it. I can't stay awake long enough.
Because basically looking at the stars makes you sleepy. So,
oh my gosh, yeah. I'm so tired. And then finally, Kaylee says, and Kaylee, this is very sad. After 14 and a half months of not being able to ride my mare, I can finally start riding her again. But I have to wait for all the new tack riding breeches and set of Cavallo hoof boots that I bought to come in. And it's taking forever. I ordered them Wednesday and they're going to be here tomorrow. But still.
Amazon has spoiled all of us.
We need drone delivery, Amazon. Get it together.
The problem with drone delivery is most of the stuff we buy is too big. You know, they really can't haul 30-pound bags of grain with drones.
I get it. Well, everybody, thank you for submitting your equestrian first world problems. I do appreciate it and try to keep it together. I'm so sorry you're going through this.
Auditors, hang on. I have a good news story here for you before we wrap up the day. Auditors, hang on. We're going to find out apparently why Jamie is winning Mom of the Year Award. I don't know. Totally. I have not heard this story, so we'll find out. A month from today, we are going to be at the Albuquerque Balloon Festival, which is the largest balloon festival in the United States. We're heading out there to hang out with Ashley, and we're all going to the Balloon Festival a month from today. And I have a good news story, a fun story, actually. Albuquerque Fire and Rescue marked a historic milestone yesterday by staffing an engine company, you know, the firehouse, with an all-female crew for the first time in its 125-year history. So for this particular day shift, it's now being manned by womaned. Is that a word?
No, it's being womaned.
It's being womaned by all four positions at the fire department are female firefighters. And it's the first time that's happened in 125 years, including the officers, apparently. So,
wow.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool, huh?
You know what? Those girls don't need husbands to move hay bales.
No, they do not.
They just get in there and handle it.
Good point. So some badass women are putting out the fires in Albuquerque. And
maybe
we'll see them at the Balloon Festival in a month. I'm so excited to go. That's it for today. We'll see you all here on Wednesday. Tomorrow we have endurance. So if you love the endurance episode with Karen, she'll be here tomorrow.
All right, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld.